What's good, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody, man? Thank y'all for tuning in to episode 15 of the Fade Hour. And I'm your host slash moderator, Maul. You know, I go by Bruising Boxing. Right now, I'm sipping on a double bastard aged in bourbon barrels. And I'm joined by my man News. And I'm joined by Smoke, my man Pat P. But actually, I'm going to go ahead and kick it around the room and then we'll let them introduce themselves. And if they drinking or smoking on something, you know, they'll go ahead and let the people know.
What up, y'all? This your boy News representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Got the gelato on deck. I got to get something different now. I'm tired of saying the gelato, but it's an incredible streak. My boy Young Dolph would be impressed. I'm impressed with it, but I definitely need something else. I need some Girl Scout cookies. I think I have a taste for some Girl Scout cookies. You know what I'm saying? But y'all know what it is. Holla at me.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke, Free Smoke Boxing, Ringside Rave. Unlike News, I got two different strains. I got the SoCal Al and the Queen Mother Goji. Both are fire, and I got some Odell IPA here.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorpion, the New England representer. And, you know, I got my after-dinner Merlot in my glass, and because... I need something to wash down all these Thanksgiving leftovers. God damn it. I brought back a lot. You know what I'm saying? You know, I must have gained like 10 pounds already. It's disgusting. So, but yeah, the Merlot will help, you know, the Merlot will help things, you know, go through my system clearly. And like my brother's News and Smoke, you know, a weed shop has recently opened near me. So hopefully I will be able to get some edibles and I will join them in being weeded up and with Merlot in my system. And you dig it?
What up, y'all? This your boy P, representing Ringside Rave, La Vega Boxing, and you know me, I'm just sipping on the non-alcoholic stuff. I got a can of Pepsi in my hand today.
Pepsi.
Hey, Pepsi's good, man.
It's always something new with P.
I know it's normally water.
Right.
I had enough water for today.
But yeah, man, again, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in to episode 15. Last week, we just wanted to give ourselves a little break. A little holiday season came up, so want to recharge our batteries. And but tonight, we're going to go ahead and get into the first topic, which is the Bivol versus Pascal recap. And then it's going to be a 175 night because we're definitely going to touch on the Adonis Stevens and Alexander Vostick fight that's coming up Saturday prior to the main event. Which is the, you know, Wilder and Tyson Fury card, which we're going to talk about that, you know, the main event and also the undercard, give us our thoughts and predictions and stuff. So, you know, without that being said, again, we had Dimitri Bivol, you know, going against the veteran John Pascal. I threw his name out.
He's not even the same, so you ain't even got to put the same. Y'all already know what I say. Once you're not the same, we put this respect in your name, but if we start stumbling over the name, it is what it is, man.
Exactly. But, yeah, man, News, were you able to catch it, you know, the fight, or if not, you know, not catch it live, but just at any point, man, and just give us your general thoughts about how Bivol looked and what's next for him and stuff for that.
Man, honestly, I really didn't even get to see that fight between Bivol and Pascal.
You would have.
Like, I mean, honestly, I didn't. I didn't really get to see how I really wanted to see the fight. I seen, of course, clips of it, but I didn't really get to sit down and delve into it to give it a real thorough explanation of it. All I know is I seen the normal. Bivol just outscaling his opponents. And everybody always acting like, see, the problem with Bivol is that he has to go against the Usyks, the Lomas, all these dominant Europeans coming over. And then he's looked at as one of those two. So they expect him to put on the same dominant type performances every time he steps out. And every time, listen, man, every time you step out, you're not gonna be wearing your best outfit. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? All he did was go out there, he got the W. He okay. He didn't do his best. That's what I'm hearing. I'm going to have to sit down and delve into this and get my real review. So I'm going to let y'all go ahead and take this. I'm going to take the back seat on this one.
All right.
When you watch that fight, I mean, Bivol won, and he won pretty easily. He won like 10-2 or 11-1 or 12-0. Depends how you score the fight. But he didn't do anything impressive. Like, he landed one punch that kind of buzzed Pascal, and that was in the first round. And Pascal is definitely washed. He can't fight for more than, like, 30 seconds every two rounds. So yep. For Bivol not to knock him down or stun him or do something of that nature, it makes you wonder where his power might be at the real ranks of 175. I know he hurt Sullivan Barrera, but that was kind of after a sustained beating. And after his last two fights, it doesn't look like a lot of those are going to be going down against top tier opposition.
I thought he did score a knockdown in the fight, though.
No, he didn't score a knockdown. Pretty much like I said, I mean, like Smoke said, he won very easily. Pascal is washed. Like, I mean, his prime is on the other way side. Gone. Yeah, it's gone. Like,
it
dude,
looked,
yeah, like, I mean, he barely had any stamina, and he was fucking throwing soul claps. Like, he threw some MMA double punches, and he did that more than once. I was like, me and my dad were watching this shit. Was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
it was fucking ridiculous. Like, nigga, that's not even a legal punch. I'm sure of it. but Bivol did what he had. I mean, he buzzed him a couple times. But what Bivol was also doing, he was also throwing a lot of pity-pat punches. Like, I mean, like, I guess either just punches to keep his hands busy or whatever. And I don't think he really needed that since Pascal wasn't busy at all. And all he was doing was walking forward in a guard and just absorbing punishment. You know, and it was. I mean, it was not the most pleasant fight to watch.
It was a rough watch.
Yeah, it was really a rough watch, and I was just hoping for like a mercy kill shot for Bivol to at least put him down.
But you know, saying Bivol didn't step on the gas.
Not as much as he should have. I mean,
there was no gas steppage at all.
I mean, it was just one of those. It was a minimalist performance, and he did what he had to do.
Like a Mayweather versus Berto kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Got the W, went home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Got a clear W, and he went home. And like I said, I'm not going to hold it against it, because like I said, it's hard. Unless you're Kovalev, that who actually has, you know, got ungodly power, you're not going to hurt Pascal, get rid of him that easily. So I'm not going to hold that against him, you know. But, yeah, I'm just hoping that, what he learned a little bit from this fight, and then actually really comes out, like, if he sees a fighter hurt, to really, like, put it in the second gear, try to put him away. But, like I said, he was just content to just, you know, keep his hands busy with his pity-pat punches, you know, and just, you know, just repeat. That's all, because basically he had a walking punching bag, and that's all, and he didn't have to do anything, he didn't have to do anything else, so...
Yeah, P, were you able to catch the fight or any of the highlights of it?
No, yes, I was able to catch the fight. I was out with my lady at Salsa con Fuego having a good time getting lit. So I was like, I'll tape it and I'll watch it later. So that's exactly what I did. And you know what? I was happy with it because I know everybody's not all impressed because, you know, just he didn't look extraordinary against an obviously overmatched opponent because make no mistake in it. Pascal, at this point of his stage, is beyond lost and overmatched. But he did enough. He showed his skills. I don't agree with what one of y'all said. He didn't really hurt him at any point. But Pascal definitely was buzzed at least at 2 points. And remember, I saw him definitely dazed. But he didn't step on the gas. Okay, he didn't need to. It's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't have to go full speed all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like for example, I got my Dodge Charger. I could go 0-60 in 5 seconds. Sometimes I don't feel like doing all that. Sometimes I just want to cruise. That's exactly what Bivol did. He just cruised. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just want to cruise.
He's
flexing.
What if you're trying to sell?
Yeah, he did. He did kind of humble brag with the Charger.
Just sliding in the Charger.
Yeah. But sometimes it's not needed. Sometimes you don't got to go 80 miles. Sometimes you don't got to go 100 miles an hour. Sometimes you just go 80.
That's how you, yeah. That's how you get caught sometimes when you're doing unnecessary shit in there.
Exactly. For this, Bibble didn't need to do anything extra. I think that's the problem. I think people expected him to do extra because he was against an overmatched opponent. So they wanted him to take more chances, and he did it. But he didn't need to. I didn't have a problem with it. He showed what Bivol's main thing is just skills. I don't think he's really a big power guy. I think he has respectable power to get, his opponent's attention. But I don't think he's that devastating puncher that, a Kovalev is or a Stevenson is. He doesn't need to be. It's fine. He has the skill. Also, you got to remember, he's also longer. He's kind of a small light heavyweight compared to the others. He's not as big as the other guys. In fact, I remember seeing something about how he's talking about he would go down to 168 for the right opponent. The fact that he's talking that he could still go down to 168 just goes on. He's not a big guy. So he has respectable power, but it's not going to be devastating power. But he has skill. So honestly, who, the other champion, can match him skill for skill? I do think there is one, but I'm just saying, skills-wise, he's skilled enough to beat all of them. So I'm not really concerned about all the devastating power.
We're going to have to see how his chin is.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do want to bring up too is also Bivol had mentioned that he said he felt Pascal's power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, Pascal himself, he has good effectiveness, but he's not the heaviest puncher in that division. And 175 has a whole bunch of heavy punches. So if he's, if Pascal's power had him a little wary, imagine facing like someone like Stevenson, who carries like a torpedo in his left hand, stuff like that. So
Pascal has some pop, though. I don't want to say he has some pop, because I remember in the first Kovalev fight, I believe he caught Kovalev's attention with his...
Right.
It's not like Pascal doesn't have any power. Pascal has some pop.
Right.
But news, we were... You made an interesting point. I want to believe it was Sunday, or maybe it was yesterday, that you had ranked Bivol the number one. In your opinion, you think he's number one at 175, man. You want to tell the people why you kind of feel that way?
Yeah, I think he's more skilled than all the other guys. I mean, simply put, I mean, Pascal, y'all, as far as what y'all, I just seen a couple of the highlights. I seen him landing nice little flurries on Pascal here and there.
Ain't no highlights.
I mean, come on. Come on, man. Listen, I could listen. It was only his 15th fight. I can always go with that. It's only his 15th fight. The man did beat Sullivan Barrera already. He's already showed us that he has the skills. I believe he's the most skilled champion at 175 right now. I don't think it's anybody there that can beat him now. There is a rumored fight between the Badu Jack and Marcus Brown. If Marcus Brown wins that fight, I would love to see Marcus Brown, or if Badu Jack wins that fight, I'd love to see him versus whoever wins it.
Right. What I'm
saying? Either one wins the fight. I'd rather see them versus Bivol because he needs somebody like that. I don't see Stevenson beating him. I don't see beating him. No.
Who do you think is the worst matchup for him at 175?
The worst matchup for him at 175?
Alvarez, for sure.
Yeah, that's the only one I was going to say is Alvarez, because Alvarez can go skill for skill. I don't think that somebody I'm not a person that believes in just the one shot, unless it's Deontay Wilder, because he showed that once he lands it's over. I don't believe Stevenson just having the one hand is going to beat Bivol. I don't believe Better Beef hasn't even faced anybody as good as Bivol. I can't say he hasn't faced anybody as good as Sullivan Barrera. How can I say that he beats Bivol? So I can't say that either. Kovalev, no, I'm not going there. But Alvarez, on the other hand, the power and the skill.
Does have two world champions.
Yeah, but man, that was a long time ago, man. He's been on the shelf since.
Yo, you wait until the Beast gets a couple of like three fights in a year. Wait until 2020.
Right, that's my dog. I do. I have to wait.
He's gonna knock Bivol unconscious.
I mean, he may, but all I'm saying is,
knocked unconscious.
He may lose, but as of right now, I can only go about what we've seen, and Better Beef is inactive enough for me to say that he beats Bivol. Like, he's too rusty. He's too rusty.
Like sounds like you're saying he's a year away from being a year away.
Nah.
Yeah, he definitely got to get more work. It would be a step up for him at this company, so I can't put him on a, everybody, actually, and I don't want to turn into Better Be, but everybody pretty much would be a step up for him. Like, who can we name at 175 who wouldn't be a step up?
At the same time, he could knock all those dudes out.
We don't know that yet. He
of
hasn't
course you don't anybody. Know that.
No, I mean,
you don't know that faced, until I need to
he hasn't faced anybody. He hasn't faced anybody for me to say that he's just going to knock them out. And like, I don't know how he would look in that situation because he's rusty. Like and if he was active and we've seen him coming off, like you said, three fights or something like that, or have four fights in the last 2 years, something like that, where he was a little more active, then we could have a different conversation. But right now, if we said his next fight was versus who would we favor over who? Stevenson?
I mean,
you know what I mean? Kovalev?
He's
right now.
He's fighting Joe Smith, and that'll be two fights in 4 or 5 months. Yeah, right. No, I'm just saying. Like,
I know he has to fight Joe Smith. Like, that would be that's a good fight. That's a good that's the type
ben,
of.
And if he fought Bivol after that, I would favor Beast.
Of course, man.
Of course I would.
Pat, who do you have currently as your number one at this second at 175?
I mean, right now, I still have to go with Stevenson. You know, because. You know, he's fought the better fighters out of all of them. You know, but the only thing with Stevenson is he's ripe to get knocked off. That's for sure. But Stevenson is the best light heavyweight right now. I mean, it's not Bivol. He's too much of a novice, and Alvarez could possibly get there with a couple more fights with top contenders. And Badu Jack needs to stop drawing with these motherfuckers. And Stevenson is still number one at 175 until further notice.
P, you agree, disagree?
Well, I guess it depends on what we're talking about in rank. Are we talking about skill-wise, or are we talking like resume?
Overall.
Yeah, I guess you could say more skill than resume.
If it's skill, then for me, it's a toss-up between D-Ball and Better Be. If we're talking resume, then you have to give it to Stevenson. Stevenson is the most battle-tested of all of them, but I also think he's the most rightful picking. So I would have to go either between D-Ball and Better Be if we're talking skill, like who we would favor against the other guy.
My number one right now, I mean, that's got to be Storm Alvarez. I think that Better Be could knock all of them out. But I don't think right this second he can beat all of them. So Alvarez is number one to me. I think Kovalev versus Bivol would actually be a way better fight than Kovalev versus Alvarez.
You know, I don't want to be disrespectful or anything, because I'm not disrespecting him, but I'm not ready to just throw Alvarez at the top just because he came back to knock out Kovalev in a fight that he was losing, and because we know Kovalev shrinks under pressure. So because he took advantage of a guy who's kind of a mental midget, disrespect, no disrespect, I don't give a fuck, but I'm not ready to just catapult him off of that. He could have easily beaten him if he didn't beat him with a comeback. If they fight again, I could see Kovalev beating him this time. So if he beats Kovalev again, okay, then we'll talk. I'm not. I need him to prove that it wasn't just a fluke.
Well, I mean, the rematch is for February on ESPN. So I mean, we'll definitely get a chance to see that again.
If he beats him again, then I can gladly, you know, really put his name in the ringer and really, you know, put a case for him being at the top. But I want to see him beat Kovalev again, just to make sure it wasn't.
I'm going with Bivol, man. I just got to go with the skills. My skills never. Skills pay the bills. Skills make the meals. That's the reason why at the end of the day, Bivol's gonna be the king of the hill.
News got bottles.
Well, let's
got bars over there. Gelato bars.
Gelato.
well, hopefully in 2019 though, some of these light heavyweight champs, you know, they start fighting each other, you know. You know, because every one of them are like, you know, I mean, this is where they're nearing their peak. So it's all time to, you know, it's time to like get in the mix. have an unofficial tournament or something like that.
Right.
Get those belts.
I'm also surprised nobody even brought up Kovacic because a lot of you already think that he's going to beat Stevenson. So why don't you know, throw him into the ringer?
Glad you said that because I was just about to transition into the other the lightweight title fight that we got. Again, that'll be the prequel to Fury and Wilder, man. We got the lineal at 175, Stevenson, who's been a lineal for what, 4 or 5 years now, if I'm forever. Got that correct? Yeah, it seems like forever, right?
Yeah, well, about 5 years, yeah.
Since he knocked out Dawson, right?
He's been WBC light heavyweight champion for about 5 years now.
Who did he beat to get that?
Man, go beat for me. Man, shut up.
And yeah, he going up against the third leg of the Ukraine dream team, Vostik.
Pause.
But yeah, man, Pat, how you see that? How you see that fight going?
Vostik, I think he's pretty unheralded. Like, I mean, he's what you call it. I mean, he's hot and cold, but not hot and cold how he performs. But it's just like, some fights he's very laid back and he gets a stoppage, and in other fights, and some of it, he looks like an absolute killer and he puts these motherfuckers away. So I think Vostik has enough skill and enough stamina to and enough power to outlast Stevenson. I honestly do think the Stevenson's run comes to an end next Saturday.
This Saturday,
yes. Oh,
finally.
Finally.
Really?
Finally.
Yeah, no. Man. I hear no, you, Pete. Not you even, disagree? No, I mean,
pay-per-view. But not even Steven, not even to talk. But even speaking of the reign of Stevenson, finally. You know what? Finally. Because at the end of the day, man, he should have been fighting these other champions. Stevenson's resume is trash couple years. It's not even arguable. It's not even defensible. I said it was trash last year. I mean, so it's even more trash going into 2019.
Well, the thing with Stevenson is just a disappointment. Like after 2013, you know, I mean, he had a hell of a 2013. He was rightfully the fighter of the year. But then after that, he jumps to Heyman, and then you...
Oh, please don't go on to Heyman.
Exactly what happened.
You knew it was coming, man.
This is exactly what happened. He went to Heyman, and his competition lowered, save for the fight with Von Bar. You know, I mean, that's exactly what happened. Because it's not Heyman rep. That's exactly what happened. You know, and his competition... He had to draw with Badu Jack, and then he has Vostik. So I mean, it's an overall. It has been a pretty good year for Superman. So, but I do think it's probably time for him to lose. I think he will lose.
I mean, seeing.
Hold on, Smoke. Yeah, because I want P. I hear P in the background. Sound like he may disagree with me and you, man.
You know. The Stevenson reign, I'm not sure it's ready to be done with yet. Now, I don't know. I'm not mad at anybody saying the Vostik will win because he is very skilled. He has the youth on his side. He has the work rate on his side. At times he looks like a killer. I'm not concerned with any of that. My concern is Chin. Because Kovacic, his team is a little suspect. I don't know if any of y'all remember, but I definitely remember him being legitimately hurt by a light-hitting Tommy Carpentier. Tommy Carpentier. So if you're getting hurt against Tommy Carpentier, how can I expect your team to hold up against the guy who probably has the heaviest, hardest punch in the division in Adonis Stevenson? If his chin can't hold up, I think Stevenson takes him out within 6 rounds. If Stevenson's stamina hasn't gone down the drain by then. If he can outlast that onslaught, I think Kovacic will win. But I don't think he will.
Listen, man. Y'all going one day finally understand. You got to stop picking against Team Ukraine, man. What it's like the Monstars right now.
What did I remember y'all saying the same thing when Mr. Random Chenko fought against Danny Jacobs. And I picked against him.
No, he's not part of the squad.
He ain't on the dream team, man.
He was part of Dipset B team. That's yeah. who he was. He was part of the B team. He wasn't Cam, Wells, and Jimmy. That's he was Loma, Usyk, and Vosdick. He wasn't yeah, he wasn't part of that.
And Casa and all them. You know what I'm saying? He's with
Oh,
shit.
J.R. Ryder. Right. Yeah, so I'm gonna start calling him. What's his Sergey J.R. Ryder and
Sergey Casa.
That's what we'll start calling people. Yeah, Kasachenkos. I mean, you're on the B team.
Yo, that's that Kasachenko.
Kasachenko.
Yeah, man, we can't. Come on, man. Once again, we're going to have to witness another Ukrainian get another championship. Mm-mm. And within a few fights, knocking off a champion. I'm until one of them lose, and I'm not counting that first fight, Pat. You try to put on Loma back. I'm not counting the first fight because... I'm not counting that fight because Loma was just trying to test the waters. He was trying to sneak a title. He got too greedy, but since then... He learned his lesson, and ever since then, everybody else learned their lesson too. It's been smooth selling for us in Team Ukraine. We about to get another belt tonight, Saturday, before the pay per view. We about to get the championship back in it. We about to go get a championship belt, go back, sit down, and watch the pay per view. That's what we're gonna do.
And just to mention, to this fight for our listeners, this fight is gonna be airing for free on Showtime's Facebook and YouTube channel. Yeah, so I mean that's important, and yes, it'll most likely it'll probably be the fight of the night, in my opinion.
Thank you, Showtime. Thank you.
So I think Vadzik gets knocked out within six. If he doesn't, then Stevenson is fucked because Stevenson's a 4-6 round fighter now because his stamina is garbage.
And he's like 41 now. I mean, age is setting in on Superman.
I mean, for real. It was like, I think I posted it up. He KO'd Chad Dawson with one punch in like June of 2013. So that was like 5.5 years ago, legit.
Right. Like, come on, man. Kobe was still putting up 50 at that time.
Right.
Like, we can't keep talking about what people was doing back in 2013.
I mean, shit, I wasn't even making money like that in 2013, man.
Yeah, here he go.
Pat wasn't making money like that.
What's the difference between 4.0
and 4.6?
I mean, yeah, you're Mr. Imaginary Play Ass over there. Shit, yeah. Man.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of things that went down in that period, man. Like, Superman, I mean... You have to give it to him. He's consistent, you know, but like I said, you know, the best win in that run was probably, I don't know, Bika, maybe, or, you know.
From far away.
Right, but that's how crazy we got to go back. I'm going to put it to y'all how far back that is, listeners, okay? Back when Adonis Stevenson knocked out Chad Dawson and became that champion, it was the man that everybody was looking at. We still had 2 years to go before Floyd fought Pacquiao. We were still waiting. We had to wait 2 more years for Floyd to fight Pacquiao. That's how long ago that was. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Stevenson, that was a good win back in the days. You know what I'm saying? But that has no bearings with a guy that only fights one time a year. He can't keep doing that and continue. And I think he's going to catch up to him this Saturday. I think we'll catch up to him this Saturday.
A quick question. Who won, him or Jack?
I had a draw.
I
can't even remember.
A draw for that fight is legit. I mean, just like news. I don't remember because the fight was boring. It was.
Wait, you actually thought Superman Jack was born?
Thought it was born. The first time.
I mean, I don't even remember. So yeah, I mean, let me rephrase. asterisk, Smoke said something because he was a little smoked out. I don't remember the fight.
Because that was a Gary Russell fight earlier that night, wasn't it?
On the definitely don't remember that.
Right now. Well, fuck us. I remember Better Beef getting almost knocked out by a journeyman. So that's
is that what you remember? You remember that?
Better Beef went down. Oh shit!
y'all turned the fade hour into the shade hour, man.
No shade hour.
That's silly.
I thought it was either a draw or a 1 point win for Jack, though. I mean, it was a close fight, and Jack gave that fight away when he got hurt in that 10th round, by that body shot.
I kind of remember that now a little bit. All right. Yeah, Jack won the second half.
Right. Remember,
won the first half, and Jack gave away one round.
Right. Jack didn't like the body shot in the fight.
Yeah, and I was just like, stupid motherfucker, you just had to get hit by that body shot, you know, and you was so close.
When was that fight? I mean, why hasn't Jack fought since then? I'm kind of surprised about that.
That is a good ass question. Don't get Pat started, man.
I
have nothing against Jack. Jack, if anything,
Jack the Ripper.
More than anything. You see, Jack's competition. Shit, PBC can wish they could have that type of competition on their own like resumes.
That is factual.
Yeah, no.
Burrell, George Groves, Lucien Boutte, James DeGaulle, Nathan Cleverly, Adonis Stevenson,
Anthony Durrell. I mean, he's right. He's good. Yeah. He's good in my book.
I'm pretty sure Bobby Jack is the only member of Mayweather promotion that Pat has not slandered yet, actually.
That's probably true. Yeah.
would you take Jack or Better Beef?
Better Beef.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
Jack is in prime right now, but I still can't forget that stupid loss he had against Derek Edwards where he got knocked out in one round.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think Better Beef could knock him clean out. It's just like, I just need to see Better Beef just face a little better opponent now again. And that's it.
Yeah, have him play three times a year.
And then,
he can knock Badu Jack out. I mean, Better Beef just needs to be active. Because like I said, he's at that age right now where, you know, he can't just be fighting one or two fights. And he has less than like 20 fights. You know,
right.
He'll deteriorate.
20. Don't he got like less than 14 fights?
Yeah.
He's got 14. Like
how many he have?
I think he's 13-0.
And he'll be going on 34 next year.
Yeah, 13 knockouts. He'll be 34 years old in January.
Plus, it doesn't help that he's. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm not saying. Let me preface by saying I'm not discriminating against anybody, but I think him being a Muslim also hurts his schedule because he goes to Ramadan and fasting, and that fucks up his schedule. Because if you remember, he didn't want to take the fight against. Against Kovalev because he was fasting during that time. I remember a couple of years ago, he was going to Ramadan and fasting. That kind of messed up
the schedule. And the promotional issues too, that ongoing court shit, man, he got going on.
Yeah, man. I mean, hopefully him being on the zone in 2019 will solve all these issues of his activity, man. Because like I said, I mean, he's too talented. Not fighting regularly.
Now the dudes at 175 are not straight shook of him since Dad dropped him. Johnson.
I don't know. He needs to get his situation figured out with Yvonne Michael or Michelle, whatever.
Yvonne Michael, whoever it is.
But every time I see Better Beef name come up,
I see Michael Michelle.
He's still in the contract.
I always thought it was like Yvonne Michelle.
I don't know, and I just want him to get out of there better.
I guess if you want to say it the French way, you know, that's how it's pronounced, you know. But
aren't they from
Canada, which is kind of like for
French Canadian.
Yeah. I thought his name was that too. Maybe we just call him that. We're gonna just call him that, just in hopes that's how we pronounce his name until we find out how to actually pronounce his name. Yvonne Michel is his new name.
All my WWF fans back in there. I'm the Mountie.
The Mountie. Yvonne Michel.
The Mountie.
It's like a Mountie, man.
No, I think it is Yvonne Michel, kind of like the Patriots running back, Sony Michel. French name. So, We give it too much attention to this guy's name, and he sounds like a bitch.
Y'all already know what time it is. You already know what time it is
for us in the U.S. Saturday night. I don't know if gelato gonna be in the air. I know what kind of beer. I already got my beer ready, and I'm had it ready for weeks. I don't know what y'all smoking. I don't know where y'all gonna be at. There's gonna be people watching in theaters, home party, whatever. Let's go ahead and get to this main event, man. Let's get to the biggest heavyweight fight this year, Fury Wilder. We already know how the undercard gonna play out. I mean, we can talk about it prior if y'all want to. Y'all want to talk about the undercard?
No,
pretty much on the undercard, the A sides are gonna win.
Shout out to Hurd, though. Shout out to Hurd. Hopefully his shoulder's okay, and then we can get bigger fights in 2019.
Exactly. Well,
definitely shout out to Hurd, man, who always like anything you post about him, man. We definitely appreciate that. That definitely keeps us going, too, man. We see boxers, not only him, any other boxer that show us love out there, man. That's definitely something that we keep in mind, man.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah. Yo, how is this main event fight gonna go, man?
Bombs away. That's what's gonna happen. It's not gonna be nothing but Deontay Wilder getting in the ring, standing there posing in front of Tyson Fury. We ain't gonna be nothing but a 6'9" sand clock in there, because that's all you're gonna see. The time is going to be ticking. As soon as he gets in the ring, his time is ticking. He's going to be moving because he can't stand still. He's not going to be able to stand still. Sitting there talking about, oh, I'm going to go toe-to-toe with Deontay Wilder. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to go toe-to-toe with the canvas. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go to sleep, and that's what we're going to see. And I'm going to have the gelato in the air, and it's going to be amazing.
You got a round?
I mean, I don't pick rounds, but I will say this. I hope it's not within the first 6 rounds, because I don't like watching fights that end that early. Like, maybe within the night. I preferably like my nights to end like around the 9th round. You know what I mean? Like, give me like 75% of the fight. I want to see a little action back and forth, but then finish the fight. Don't
leave it early. They got to show the replay of a fight from 2 weeks ago. You know?
Yeah.
I think it ends at 6. I give it 6 rounds. I give Fury 6 rounds. That's it. Sorry, can't give you more
think,
than that.
You think Fury? Do you think Fury will be up on the cards?
No, I don't think so.
Give away rounds and stuff before he gets you.
Maybe he might get like two rounds. I can't see him like beating up on the card. I don't think he's gonna be active enough. I think Wilder's just gonna be on him more. Like, I think he'll show some his movement a little bit, but I don't think that herky jerky shit is gonna work against Wilder like he did against Vlad. Because Vlad didn't pull the trigger, Wilder will happily pull the trigger.
Exactly, man. Like, so like what they think, like, I mean, didn't CompuBox just tell us that Wilder is the number one most accurate puncher in the game today? Didn't they tell us he got the number one jab in the game, baby? That boy got that in his arsenal too. Like, listen. At the end of the day, it's all fun and games and jokes. But Deontay Wilder is a bronze medalist. You know what I mean? People talk about he doesn't have this and that. He didn't win. He didn't become the bronze medalist by knocking out everybody he faced in his medal. He has skills. He's not just a big oaf in there swinging wildly. And so when he knocks out Tyson Fury, and when we start replaying the highlights over and over again, we're gonna go over those different punches, because there's gonna be so many different angles. You know everything looks better in slow motion. You can't win it all.
I mean,
My thoughts on, go ahead, Pat.
What do you think, Pat?
The outcomes that obviously that won't surprise me. Wilder knocking out Fury or Fury decisioning Wilder. Those won't because like
yeah, I said. Yeah, me neither. Right.
Because like I said, I've mentioned before about Wilder where I think his boxing skills level stands at. You know, he rescues himself a lot from certain fights, from lesser opponents from him. And that's one of the big things why I say Fury has a big chance of making him look foolish. But Wilder has a nuke for a right hand, has an absolute nuke. It's like, you know, and only I've only seen one fighter actually not go down from it. Fury has got dropped by, you know, the GOAT cruiserweight, Steve Cunningham.
Salutes.
We thank you for your service, by the way. And like I said, I mean, Fury's chin has always been suspect to me, and I don't think he can take a Wilder shot. I don't think he can take it at all, for that matter. And on top of that, too, Fury's been abusing his body, you know, with drugs and cocaine and all, and food, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, yes, the weight loss is good and all, but I think the damage has been done to Fury physically. This is not the Fury that, you know, that fought in the Vlad fight. This is a older, you know, possibly and, you know, with the more physically
damaged. Flabby and sick.
Yeah. Even the Fury against Vlad, I still wouldn't pick him against Vlad.
The Fury against Vlad has a much better chance, and even I think a credible chance at winning. This Fury, I think he's gonna lose in round 7. I'll say, I think for 2 to 3 rounds he'll be able to kind of move around and discourage Wilder, but as soon as Wilder lets his hands go, he's gonna hit Fury and knock him out. So yeah, round 7, between rounds 6 and 10.
I got a question for y'all when it comes to Wilder, man. Because the Spilka fight, people may have Wilder up a round or two, or maybe even or whatever. Same with the Ortiz fight. Same with hell, even the Gerald Washington fight. Do y'all think he's getting outboxed or box to a standstill in these fights, or he's actually kind of, I don't want to say kind of giving him away and peekabooing him and just waiting for his shot?
He's getting outboxed and he's rescuing him.
I don't think he's getting outworked, but
right.
I think it's 50-50.
Because the Gerald Washington fight, I was like, well, I don't know, boy. If he don't get him out of here, it's kind of looking, and then shit was over with.
Yeah, and same with Sabilka, you know, same thing. Sabilka was making him look foolish, and then Sabilka made a mistake and, you know, got stripped out.
I don't even think Sabilka was making him look that foolish. He had some good rounds. I think I had it like even when they fought.
It was
I mean, it was definitely close for Sabilka. I mean, I didn't think he was winning, but it was definitely even. But Wilder definitely was not winning that fight.
It's just hard to fight because he's the kind of person that, like, Wilder is also the kind of person where you have to, like, outwork him as well. As you're not just going to get off a couple of shots and then expect the judges to, because once he gets settled in and gets active, you can't really outwork him. Like, when I talked to Jerry Cooney about it, about this fight, he, like, basically summed it up perfectly. He told me Wilder fights at 100 miles an hour, whereas Fury only fights at 30 miles an hour. That's a perfect analogy. Like, you cannot work the guy when he gets going.
I was going to say that, you know what, even thinking about it, and I said I want the fight to go at least 9 rounds, because I do, but really, if Wilder decides to step on the gas, what can Fury even do about it?
Nothing.
If Wilder decides, you know what, I'm a, like Tyson Fury, Luis Ortiz couldn't get Deontay Wilder out of there.
He had him dead to rights, too.
You know, yeah, he had him, and Deontay Wilder survived that. So I'm comfortable with Deontay Wilder's chin. Pause. And so out of him going into the fight with Tyson Fury, what if he decides to go just you're like, you know what? Let me see what Fury got. And just goes at Tyson Fury with all intentions to knock him out from the opening bell.
Goes to Vern on his ass. Right. Damn.
Yeah. What can Tyson Fury do about that? Like, dude, can he? Was he gonna keep him off? Hold on. Like, can he? Can Tyson Fury fight at that pace? Can Tyson Fury fight like that? No.
No.
So God, yeah, no. I can't see anything other than Tyson Fury getting knocked out.
Because the only thing that Fury will do is tie him up and lean his weight on him, just like he did against Steve Cunningham. That's what he's going to do, just to try to slow him down. And I think, you know, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure Fury is going to be at least 30 pounds heavier than Wilder. And he's tall and he has, I think, probably either a longer, same or a longer reach than Wilder. So I wouldn't be surprised if a jab and grab when he's on the inside is possibly, a lot of wrestling on the inside is what's going to happen.
Oh, no, we have to see. I just can't see other than
slump.
If Wilder want to just slump him, I can see that happening. If they go ahead and had the boxing match and do things like that, I can see that happening up until Wilder gets him out of there.
Long.
Hopefully around the ninth round. Highlight reel, knockout.
He's getting slumped.
Yeah, I mean, he's about to entertain anything else, man.
Yeah, I can't see him. Well, let's say hypothetically he did win. Okay, so what position does that put Fury? With him having the win over a prime Deontay Wilder, undefeated, 40-0, 39 wins, WBC champion, with wins over Luis Ortiz. He has
the win over
Vladimir Klitschko to become the lineal heavyweight champion of the world.
The first, right. You know, yeah. You
take them from the. Does that make Tyson Fury the guy at heavyweight?
Yeah, he's the guy.
I mean, Fury is the lineal champ. He is the man at every. But you know, him getting the WBC belt, I mean, it would just solidify that, and then most likely would probably move towards a unification with Anthony Joshua.
But in the eyes of everyone, like, how would we view Tyson Fury? Would we view him as the
number one, and
Joshua number two? Or will we still keep Joshua as number one and have Fury as number two now?
Fury would be number one.
Yeah, Fury would definitely be number one.
No question about it.
I wouldn't mind somebody saying Joshua number one. I wouldn't argue it, but I would say, personally, I'd say Fury.
Yeah, I mean, it would be Fury. I mean, it's just the same situation where Andre Ward won three light heavyweight belts, but Superman was the man at that weight. So it's the same, you know, I have to recognize, you know.
Right. Good call on that.
I mean, I just hope that the damn fight is at least interesting enough. I mean, I don't want to see, because Fury and excitement is like oil and water. It doesn't mix, you know what I'm saying? Fury is not an exciting fighter to watch. He's a big oaf that lumbers around the ring. He's offensively, he's terrible to watch, you know, and none of his fights, except for his fight with Steve Cunningham, are interesting. So you just hope that something that something special happens in this fight, well, outside of maybe Wilder connected on it. But I want to see like at least a competitive back and forth type of fight with the finish, not just some struggle shit that blows my henny buzz, you know, because I'm gonna be upset depending on how I decide to watch this, and I still haven't figured that out yet. I mean, I think the theater I'm leaning towards, but I don't want this fight to blow my buzz. You know, because the undercard sure as hell not going to keep it, so I'm going to keep drinking during that. But
exactly,
you know, I want these two heavyweight niggas to actually do something.
Right, I don't want to have no Anthony Joshua, Joseph Parker type fights.
Because
that fight was, and that's not even just to say Anthony Joshua. But that's just the only fight that I know everybody's seen where you had a fight where it was supposed to be pumped up. Where one guy was trying to chase the other one and couldn't put him away. Another guy was backing up the whole time. Like that's I don't want to see that of Fury and Wilder, where Wilder can't put him away, and Fury just constantly backpedaling the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a fight like that.
No, not at all.
That's horrible.
All it's going to do is it's just going to, I mean, it's just going to be negative for boxing, especially because, you know, this has casual attention. So you don't want to fight like that. And then you see people like they did with Mayweather and Pacquiao. Oh, this is a shitty fight. Oh, this was a terrible fight. You know, heavyweight division is not like it used to be. Where's Holyfield? Where's Tyson? You know, all that type of shit. Because that's what will happen.
But the good thing that we ain't got to worry about is that it's going to be a knockout, because Deontay Wilder is going to knock Tyson Fury out and leave him in the middle of the Staples Center.
You know, stapled up.
You know, leave him in the middle of the Staples Center. They're going to clean him up so LeBron and them could go do shoot around. My Lakers have got to man, clean that man up out of center court. You know what I mean? Get him up out of here. Get him out of half court. Anyway.
And the momentum that Wilder is going to have if he does, and as we all predict, a knockout going into the negotiations with Joshua, shit's going to be fucking... It's going to be at a fever pitch, man, come this time next month about that fight needing to be made. Not we all kind of skeptical that it does get made. We don't think it will. But, yeah, Wilder going to have to juice something serious after this fight, man, because you know how everybody reacted to his KO of Stiverne. That shit was a damn meme for the rest of the damn year, man. So, this, you know he gonna call him out too after the fight. You know he gonna call out AJ after the damn fight. That's what I'm looking most for. That's what I'm most looking forward to is what he say post fight.
I don't even want to get into contracts and all that. I'm just saying they need to make the fight happen.
Yeah. Happen.
At the end of the day, as a man, yeah,
we all agree on that, right?
You just need to make the fight happen, and you know you can make the fight happen. If you're gonna say, well, it's about business, then just say it's about business. Be honest about it. Don't be like, yeah, I want to fight him, and then behind the scenes, well, it's business. Just say, well, I will fight him, but you know what I mean? The business got to be right.
I don't think they're going to fight.
I don't either. I don't think they're going
to fight. I don't see it next year, though, man.
And it's crazy because I don't think that Anthony Joshua is shook of Deontay Wilder. I just don't think that business-wise they're going to put Joshua in there with him. It's too risky. Unless he looks shaky against Tyson Fury.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And it's weird because it's not risky because we see how UK support their fighters even after a loss. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah, they're fanatics to the end.
Right, and so it's just like a knockout loss wouldn't be the end of the world. I get it because he is the biggest, you know, the star in the UK. But the sooner you fight him and if you were to lose, the sooner you can get a rematch in there. But the longer you drag it out, the care for a rematch, that shit dwindles. But I don't know, man. I mean,
stop
shit out.
Mal, they're dragging it out for a reason. Never forget that.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's not the first fight that's being dragged out for whatever reason. It's not going to be the last. You know, I too would like to see this in 2019. The winner of Fury and Wilder facing, you know, Anthony Joshua. I would love to see that. I mean, because like I said, it would be good for the heavyweight division. And of course, you know, as boxing goes, as the heavyweights go, and at least it'll try to get you know things back on track in that aspect. So we'll see what happens. I mean, although I'm pretty sure, like I said, Fury won. Fury and Joshua will probably be the easier fight to make, you know. But yeah, we'll, like I said, we'll just have to see. We'll just have to wait, like what we've been doing. I haven't decided where the hell I want to watch this. I am looking towards the theater. I mean, Adam Tickets, you know, has a nice little deal going on there where I can go to the closest one, which is I think it's like 30 something minutes away from my home.
Damn.
You know, bring my flask of Henny and my extra, like, you know, my portable charger and just sit back in the recliner and enjoy myself. Because I'm not paying $75 of my own money to actually watch this on pay-per-view. I can't do it. Uh-uh. No. I'd rather pay $13 instead.
Yeah, I'm going to DMV and watching it for free.
Where are you seeing it, P?
DMV.
Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's.
Hell yeah.
They actually show fights there?
Yes, they show all the pay-per-view fights.
Damn, your DMV's a fight progressive. Shit, the one near me doesn't do that.
Yeah, mine only does that for UFC fights.
Exactly.
Mine does it for both. In fact, I got kicked out of one of the DMVs that didn't do it after they told me that they did. But fuck that.
Good point.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, a good weekend of boxing. And, of course, you know, we also have to try to mention, too, Junior, you know, not completing his medical forms on time, so he's not going to be on the card at all.
Cool.
Which is a big loss, Boohoo versus Angulo. I'm sure everyone will see that fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got replaced by J-Rock. J-Rock, the Mando, for both Jermell Charlo and Jared Hurd already.
Yeah, that's a crazy position to be in, you know, because, like, who do you go after? Oh, I guess the one who probably keeps his belt after
Whoever is willing to fight you.
Neither.
Whoever is willing to fight you. I think Jared Hurd.
They're going to unify.
J-Rock. I don't think Jermell Charlo is going to rush right to fight Jared Hurd. I don't think Jared Hurd is going to rush to fight him because they eventually got to do a Mando. Even though I know it's like unifications supersede that, I don't see Jermell Charlo fighting him next. Because I don't see that, I can see Jared Hurd versus Julian Williams happening in the future for sure.
Oh yeah, let's not go and say that a certain fighter won't fight J-Rock, because the last time we did that, this nigga got accoutred on TV. So we're not doing that again.
No, I'm not saying that he won't fight J-Rock. I'm saying I don't think Jermell Charlo is gonna fight Jared Hurd next. So being that he's not going to fight him next, I mean, a mandatory, and Jaime Munguia is not going to fight Jared Hurd next either. And they're not going to, like, they're not, Oscar De La Hoya is not giving up that belt. So then that means that Jared Hurd may have to do his Mando. Because I thought Jermell Charlo did when he fought Trout. But I can't remember the last time Jared Hurd fought his Mando.
Yeah, no, it's been a while, I mean.
So I can see that being a fight, yeah.
And I wonder, I mean, because I mean, because I know there's a shitload of fights on this card. I mean, I guess the other fights are just going to be untelevised or whatever, because I mean, the pay-per-view is only a 4-fight pay-per-view, and then the Superman fight on the YouTube. They announced all these fights. How are motherfuckers going to see this shit?
Tune in to Ringside Rave. Going to bring you them clips, because all it's going to be is King Kong knockout victory, Joe Joyce knockout victory. Yep. Jared Hurd knockout victory.
Yep.
So it's gonna be J-Rock knockout victory. It's gonna be the Deontay Wilder knockout victory. It's gonna be the night of knockouts.
Except for Ghost, though. Ghost is on this card. He's probably gonna get KO'd.
Who?
Ghost. He's on this card too.
Robert Guerrero.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, don't tell me they got Robert Guerrero fighting dark matches, man. Mm.
As he should be. Actually, he should be retired, really. Because,
he went from headlining PBC on Fox to dark matches.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy deteriorated very quickly.
He did because he put on. At the end of the day, man, Robert Guerrero could have fought a different way. He did put on a show for us. He did fight. He could have been one of them fighters that sat down there and tried to use his skills like he did at the lower weight classes.
Yep, but you know,
he tried to be a Mexican warrior and live up to the reputation of being that warrior that they are in the ring, and it cut his career shorter. It cut his career short faster than it would have been if he would have fought.
He was trying to get dough.
He did get bread though, not to count his pockets, but he did get a lot of big fights.
He sure did, and he sure got paid, but he paid for that.
Yeah, he earned it.
Terminator was the beginning of the end for Guerrero.
What fight?
Sherman.
No, Kama Guy was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, Kama Guy was.
Kama Guy was it. Yep, that's what I said too when I seen it.
Yeah, because
Shut up, I'm biased. Let me cook.
I mean, Thurman put an end to that. I mean, Thurman put an end, like, finished off what Kama Guy didn't. And then after that, you saw jobbers put their foot in his ass.
Definitely, man. But shit, you know, yeah, man, I just want to go ahead and wrap this thing up by saying we appreciate everybody who tune in and listen to us and give us feedback. And I'm going to go ahead and kick it around the room for everybody to get a little final thoughts and stuff before we sign off.
Oh, I guess I'll start.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, my only thing is, if you have Thanksgiving leftovers, you finish that shit, because, you know, it will spoil at the end of the week, you know what I'm saying? And, keep loving Ringside Rave, you know, and keep supporting us, and, you know, we bring you nothing but the hot shit all day, every day, you hear me?
Well, it's your boy Smoke. Just saying peace out. You can catch me at Free Smoke Boxing. Or always at Ringside Rave. Holla at your boy.
What up? It's your boy P. Find me at Bodega Boxing on Instagram and Twitter. Y'all know what it is.
What up, y'all? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all already know what it is with me, man. Like Ma said, I'd like to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Fade Hour. It's the Fade Hour episode 15. Y'all know where y'all can find us, you know, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play. We everywhere, man. So, and we thank y'all for all the support. We hope y'all keep supporting us, and we're gonna keep bringing y'all just the latest and greatest in everything boxing. So with that being said, we out.
All right, man. We out.
Yep.
Peace.
Peace.
All right. Peace.